for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday evening, October the 25th, 2000. Ministers Deliverance Seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Monty Mulkey of the West Coast Church of Deliverance, Thousand Oaks, California, is the minister of the evening.
Tonight I'm going to talk about the authentically viable ministry of deliverance. That was the title given me, and I'll try and stay on track, but you never know. You know, you get to looking at scriptures and pastors veer off, so stick with me. Everybody comfortable tonight?
Yeah.
Comfortable? Good. Well, you know, I'm a pastor. My job is to comfort the disturbed and to disturb the comfortable. So I probably will say some things that you ain't never heard before, but that's what we come to church for, isn't it? And so if you hear something new from me tonight that you haven't heard, or it may even sound different from what the other speakers have said, take it and pray about it. Okay? It's just how I've interpreted or how I've looked at it. The authentic, viable ministry of deliverance. How many of you have already deliverance ministers? You already believe in deliverance? Okay. Well, yeah, I'm done. I don't have to convince too many of you, okay? Well, if you have your Bibles, let's open with Matthew. No, let's turn to Luke 11:18. It's a parallel scripture, but I like the one in Luke a little better. The other one's in Matthew 12:28. But let's look at this in Luke 11, and I want to jump out of this section of scriptures. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you." Okay? Love this. This is the viable, authentic ministry of deliverance. When you do deliverance, you're preaching the kingdom of God. You're showing the kingdom of God. And it's right there. When we cast out devils, by the way, it is a miracle. Jesus said, "No one works a miracle in my name except to be part of me." Deliverance is a miracle-working ministry. I know you've always wanted one. Now you know. Okay. It's the kingdom of God. Now, let's keep reading. I can't pass this up. There's a sermon in here. "When a strong man armed keeps his palace, his goods are in peace. When a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted, divides the spoil. He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walks through dry places, seeking rest, finding none. And he says, I will return unto my house whence I came out. When he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he, taketh to himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, the inner end dweller. Last state of the man is worse than the first." Now, I don't want to take any thunder out of any of the other messages, but I've been... It's my 24th year in deliverance, and I haven't learned it all, but one of the things that I've so repeatedly have come to me in the form of a question is from people is that I'm afraid to get deliverance because I'm afraid that seven more might come back. And so I said, "Lord, how do I handle that?" And I began to pray and look at this. And as I looked at this scripture, now, by the way, this is not my sermon. This one's for free. As I looked at this scripture and began to study it, the first thing the Lord directed me to is, who's Jesus talking to here? He's talking to the scribes and Pharisees. This is the only place in scripture that I found where it talks about demons coming back, and he isn't even talking to his church. Now, if you follow me, I want to try and paraphrase this. Jesus is talking to Jewish exorcists. They're also mentioned in Acts, you know, where they tried to do deliverance and the demons turned on them and all that. You know, the Jewish vagabond exorcists. Well, this is where he's talking to them, and they're accusing him of casting out devils by Beelzebub. And so he's saying, "Hey, come on, guys, look." He's talking to the Jews now. He's saying, "Look, When your sons do deliverance, this is what happens. Let's examine the fruit. When your sons do deliverance, they're doing deliverance on people that have not received the Spirit of the Lord yet. They're not saved. And so the demons just come back in because their Lord and Savior is still Satan. The house is empty. That's a picture that swept and garnished is a picture of someone who has not yet received Jesus Christ as their Savior. Okay, this is my belief. This is how I preach this. But that's really contrary to what Scripture says. Look in John 8:36. It says, "Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." So I tell people, don't worry about the demons coming back. That's not the problem. Because once you get free from it, you are free. Unless you purposely, willfully open the door and say, "Demon, I want you back. Come back into me." The problem that I find in deliverance workers is that they quit too soon. Okay? They get rid of one demon and they come back the next day and say, "It must have come back. I still got the problem." I said, "No, you just got more demons. Let's pray again." But see, if we're not careful with this, you're going to push people away with fear of getting deliverance. Okay? Now, we need to teach people how to stand, how to behave themselves, how to arm themselves. It is a battle, an ongoing battle. But I don't find in Scripture where it says that we need to always be talking about, look out for the ones coming back. Okay? That's for free. You think on that. That's how I teach it anyway. Authentically viable ministry of deliverance. We've been charged with this ministry of deliverance. Every one of you have the authority. Those that believe in my name, they shall cast out demons. Go to Numbers 32:20. We already saw that if we cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come. Numbers 32:20. I want to read this section. It says, "Moses said unto them, if you will do this thing, if you will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord until he has driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward you shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel. And this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." Now, we all quote that verse, "Be sure your sin will find you out," but we many times misquote it because it's talking about refusing to go to battle for the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we are charged to take the ministry of deliverance to help people. And we see many things just in this one section here. We see the need for training. He says, if you will go armed before the Lord to war, you have to get armed. You have to know how to use your sword. In the middle of the night, some evil spirit comes to torment or attack you. Binding and loosing should be your automatic reflex. Rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you. Get away from me. You should be able to do this in the dark. At the drop of a hat. You know, and by the way, this is really funny because I see people come into deliverance and they learn and for years. And one day they say, "Oh, I quit. It ain't working, you know." And they go 10 feet down the street and something pops out and goes boo. And they say, "I bind you." They remember, come back real quick. This is our charge. He said, "And we'll go all of you armed over Jordan." Have you ever done a study about crossing the Jordan River? We sing about it. You know, crossing the Jordan River. You know what that means? When you meet your Waterloo and you finally say yes to God. And there's a whole message right in crossing the Jordan. You study it. But before we can really be successful in taking this ministry of deliverance, we have to cross our Jordan River. Have you crossed that yet? That's the place probably where you move from Savior to Lord. Where Jesus then becomes Lord of your life and he'll begin to take up the calling. You know that vow you just made a little while ago? You sang it, "All to thee I surrender, Lord." You know, you just made a vow unto God. And he wrote it down when you sang that. And he holds you accountable to it. Now, he's going to take you up on that. But when you say, "Lord, I will," and you cross over the Jordan River, then that's when the deliverance starts. He'll begin to drive out the enemies. The army of God needs to come to grips for the need of training, for the need of learning to be armed, and coming to grips with our Jordan rivers to cross over. This is our charge. We are charged to take the authentically viable ministry of deliverance to the world, to God's people, to those hurting. I can't sit idly by. You know, I've given up everything to do this because somebody prayed for me. Somebody set me free. I said, Lord, if you can use me anyway, I'll help somebody else get free. And he'll use you too. Those that believe can cast out demons. That's anybody. Let's look in the New Testament, 1 Timothy 1:18. We see the charge here as well. Paul, getting ready to depart to go home to the Lord, is laying out charge to his young protege, Timothy. And he says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went on before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. But Timothy, don't forget. You were called. You were prophesied over. Don't forget. Gave him the charge to war the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Now, if we refuse to war good warfare, it's going to affect your faith, it's going to affect your conscience, and eventually end up shipwrecked. I can't tell you the number of shipwrecked souls. These are friends of mine that walked away from deliverance. Walked away from a charge of God is what they did. See, deliverance is intended to be a blessing for God's people. This is a burden of the Lord to set at liberty those that are bruised. Right? Kingdom teaching. Now, but deliverance is kind of an oxymoron because you get the blessing of being free, but you're also thrust right into violent warfare. Anybody experienced that yet? If you haven't, just wait. It'll come to you. Let's see. I was taught that the amount of pressure that you put upon the enemy will be met back with an equal and opposing force. Yeah, we always win, which is great, but you will feel the pressure. You will feel the force. I always tell people, you know, my name, Monty, means to call up from the valley into the mountains. That's, and I really began to do that. You know, come on, people, let's go. Come up to the front line. It's fun up here. It's exciting. Yeah, bullets are whizzing by your head. Man, I love the front line. That's where all that's where it's happening. That's where the excitement's at, yeah? But on the front line, this is where I get to see my brother healed of arthritis. A brother in Chile, dear friend, couldn't play the guitar anymore because somebody had cursed him with witchcraft. He couldn't button his own pants. His wife had to dress him. It took us 2 years of doing deliverance, but he's playing again. He's got about 95% of his hands restored. You see these things when you're on the front line. You can do all kinds of things for God. I mean, you can stay back and do all kinds of things, I'm sure, but I encourage you to come up front, you know. It's exciting. A lot of good stuff going on the front line. It's an oxymoron because once you begin to take this authentic Bible ministry of deliverance, you're entering into suffering in likeness with Christ. Yeah. Huh? You're going to suffer. You're going to say your name and they're going to your name and spit on the floor, you know, when you walk by. Because it's a war that will never finish until Satan is cast in the lake of fire. You know, one day, you know, many years into deliverance, I finally woke up and I realized, hey, this ain't quitting. You know, because the devil ain't going anywhere. He's not going to stop, you know, until one of us quits breathing. Well, he won't be quitting breathing, but until Jesus comes or he's cast in the lake of fire, there's always going to be war.
Amen.
This is what we're doing down here on earth.
Yes.
Okay? If we don't take this, we're neglecting the call to war for our brothers and sisters. And so you just count on it and say, well, when will all this war stuff get over? Say, well, when he comes back. Then you have all of eternity to swap stories about your war wounds and all exciting battles. Yeah. No. But until then, we're supposed to be diligent to the battle. I want to talk about something the Lord gave me here a while ago. As I began to reflect on the ministry of deliverance as a whole and where it's gone and where it's going, and I want to submit to you that I'm beginning to see a shift in things going on, and I say this in all due respect because I think it's what I see the Lord doing. And I liken it to the Exodus story in the Old Testament with what was a first and second generation. And so I began to look at this and study what's happening in the deliverance move in our land today, and began to liken it to first and second generation of deliverance. Now, it's not really a second generation or a first, because Christians have always done deliverance since Jesus gave us authority to. But here back in, I'll say, the 60s, 70s, God began to move again and began to instruct his people, hey, start doing deliverance. Now, we are... Today's leaders in deliverance are entering a final phase in their lives. And you're seeing this happening. There's a shift coming in which God will transfer the mantle on the next prepared group. And there's going to be a second generation of deliverance leaders emerge from this first group. And they're you know, age-wise, a younger group, maybe 20 to 40s. I'm kind of one of those that's, I'm like an older generation, but I'm still young, so I still got a few more years. So I'm hoping to see some of the second generation stuff. I told my church a couple weeks back, I'm 25 years. Can I retire next year? No. No, I'm going to be around a while, but there's a second generation coming, and we see this in the story with Moses and Joshua. Now, Joshua, I really love him. Wonderful story. Follow his life. He hardly made any mistakes at all. Moses, I can relate a lot more to. I understand him and what he went through. But it's a teaching of the promised land. It's a type. It's kind of similar. But in the recording of God's dealings with the children of Israel from Egypt, we have a lot of lessons that we can draw from. Now, as Moses began to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, that's a picture of taking the people out of the world. Egypt's a picture of the world, a picture of salvation, you could say, or coming out of the world. Now, coming out of the world is much different than coming into the promised land. And you know that the children of Israel spent how many years, you know, God's trying to get the world out of them, and they didn't, so they just kept going around the mountain. Another time. You know, kept going around the mountain because they wouldn't turn loose of the world. Now, one particular interest is how easy it was for the first generation to forget and leave off from their vision of God's appointed leader, Moses. Now, every time Moses disappeared, they went right back to what I call their default setting. Okay, how many of you know anything about computers and software? Okay, I'll share this with you. You know that when you shut down a program or shut down the computer, all the settings revert back to what we call the default setting. Okay? This is what you do with your life. You come to God, you get blessed, you know, and you're full of God's Spirit, and as soon as it disappears, you go right back to the way you were before. God wants to change that in our life so that you don't revert back and go back home and get angry and kick the dog and beat the wife and all that. That has to be changed. Okay? And the children of Israel, they did this. Every time Moses disappeared, they went back to, hey, we need to worship something. Yeah? What about all the food we had in Egypt? They went right back to the world. Now, this is a mistake that easily catches first-generation people. After continual testing and trying of their hearts in the wilderness, God was so disappointed with the lack of obedience with his people, he said, forget it. Trip canceled. Yeah. Everybody out of the pool. Let's go home. I'm not taking you, you know, because he was disappointed. They wouldn't quit going back. But at the death of Moses, God raised up a second generation which had proved their obedience, and he gave them fulfillment of deliverance by entering into the promised land. You know, coming out of Egypt is a type of deliverance, and so many of you have already begun to taste what it's like to unhook from the world. But there's more. There's much more. And I think it's the picture of entering into the promised land where we really begin to eat and dine and start changing its characteristics so that when someone looks at you or I, they see Jesus. They don't see these default settings or all of, you know, all that selfness inside. Those that died in the wilderness only saw the promised land from a distance. Now, Moses believed in it. He got to see it. By faith, he believed in it. He saw a picture of deliverance. He knew it was there, and he said, people, come on, we need to fight for this. There's deliverance. That's the type of first generation. Moses' position was ordained by God to bring the people out of Egypt. His second calling was to present them the law. Right? You know, you're aware of that. He brought down the tablets, the Ten Commandments. Now, you all know how Moses kind of blew it, and God said, you know, Moses, you're not going into the promised land. But think about this. There's another reason why God did not allow Moses to go into the promised land. And the reason was because it was Moses' job. Moses is a picture of the law. Joseph is a picture of Christ. If God would have allowed Moses to enter into the promised land, he would have destroyed the picture. Because then the law could take you into the promised land. The law could take you into deliverance, and it cannot. Jesus Christ can. And so God did not allow Moses to go in. He said, Moses, lay your hands on Joshua, pass some of your spirit that I put on you into him. He's going. You got to see it. And that's there we begin to see these differences between first and second generation. It was the second generation who enjoyed the victories over the enemies and eventually settled down to enjoy the fruits of deliverance, land of milk and honey. Okay? And that does, it's not taken away from the fact that we've enjoyed lots of deliverance, but I think there's much more. Now, I haven't really seen any Pauls running around here lately. I haven't really seen, there's some men and women of God that are full of His Spirit, but we've got a long ways to go. And I think if there's something coming, I think we need to be praying for this, looking for this, saying, God, raise up your people. Take us into that land. Set us free so that all people see Jesus inside. Now, we can learn from this because there are several mistakes of the first generation. Second generation made some mistakes, too. You know, once they got in the land, they kind of veered off and kept getting into trouble and kept needing deliverance after that. Now, I've seen some of these mistakes of first generation, some from experience, my own, some from viewing the children of Israel. The mistakes of the first generation could always be a danger to the subsequent generations coming on. Let's review them a little bit. One of the things that the first generation people did is that they were always looking back and remembering the good old days. Oh, I wish we could go back to the world. Okay? Ask God, Lord, examine my heart. Show me where what strings does the world have on me that keeps pulling me back? Okay? Because if that's in you, you're not entering in. Okay? We have to get this love of the world out of us. Amen. That was one of their mistakes. It kept them out of the promised land. That kept them out of the battlefield. By the way, when you enter into the promised land, that's when the real battle starts. Okay, that's where the giants are. They're in the land. You know, the battle doesn't even start. We're not even beginning to fight giants until we get into the promised land. Uh-huh. Man, I'm excited. Injury? How many want to go, huh? Yeah. Amen. They kept losing sight of the vision. You know, God's people perish for lack of knowledge. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Right? Another problem they had was jealousy over leadership. Well, I want to be in charge. I want to have the ball. If I can't have the ball, I ain't going to play. You know, that type of thing. This is a team effort. Right? He's getting all the credit and glory anyway. Right? Jealousy over leadership. Miriam, Aaron. You see what God thought about that, you know, when they were fighting over it. They said, well, we're just qualified as he. Why don't I get to speak? That has to be taken out of us if we're going to enter in. If we're going to lead God's people into deliverance, these things have got to be put out of us. Religious service to self-made gods, golden calf, all of these things that kept being pulled back to world and worship of Baal. As I thought about legalism and what all that entailed, because that's what Moses was a picture of bringing the law. These are some of the mistakes that I've learned and saw in the first generation of deliverance workers. Now, don't hold me to first generation. I'm talking about since God has been moving again on the world. One of the things that we see in first generation, or what legalism does, is it causes people to concentrate more on the outside than the inside. Okay, you with me? Hidden idolatry, the form of deliverance that they do is all outside. They begin to say, the first thing people come in and say, well, you need to clean your house. Yes, that's true. And I'm not in any way decreasing that or putting it down. But if all you do is throw stuff out of your house, but you don't clean up your heart, you ain't entering in. Okay? The whole thrust of my ministry, I point it right to the heart. Because if we change the heart of people, they'll clean up the outside.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Okay? I've got my scriptures loaded, my guns loaded here. Man, there's so many things that I've seen. Yeah, how many, you know, if you're used to computers, you know, when you start out first generation, you know, the old 8086, 246, and now we're up to... Yeah, Pentium 3s, 1.4 gigahertz coming out next month. You know, it's advanced and increased in power. This is what God wants to do with us as well. And all of the leaders that have gone on before us, they say, go for it, go. We want you to have more power. Right? Yeah. After I'm dead and gone, you know, I said, you know, pick up my banner and keep going. You know, learn from my mistakes and don't repeat them and go on and learn more. Get more power. Right? That's the heart of all the leaders in deliverance. We've all made mistakes and we're all still learning. But some of the things that I've seen happen in first generation that I've begun to shave off because of the time consumption that it took or just the not necessary. All of the different teachings on folding hands and don't cross your legs. I can't pray for you unless you uncross your legs. Huh? And people get all wrapped up on outside things, whether they're still doing this or that while a person's dying of cancer. Yeah, I said, you know, forget that stuff. We'll talk about earring scars, folded hands and legs and stuff later. Let's get this death spirit out of them. Because if we get their heart cleaned up, that stuff will all go later. First generation concentrates on so much outside stuff that they never get to the heart of and the issues of things, what's destroying a person's life. Stuffed animals, you know, not all stuffed animals are cursed. If it is, get rid of it. Like somebody said, well, if you're being attacked by a 10-foot Mickey doll at night, yeah, I would deal with it. You know? But if not that, don't make it your focus of attention. Are you hearing me? You know, don't get so absorbed in this that you leave off doing that. And by all means, my kids got healing from dolls that were cursed. And we got rid of it. We burned it. And instant healing because of that. So I believe in this. But first generation concentrates on it. This is not our concentration, whether you should go to a doctor or not go, whether you should fight the IRS or not fight the IRS. You know, Jesus didn't take up an issue with the government. No, that's another story. Excess requirements. You know, no pants on the women, no makeup, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, you should see some of the requirements that some, quote, deliverance people put on their people before they'll pray for them. I heard one church the other day that charged $1,200 a session. Oh my gosh, that's terrible. Yeah, abomination. Jesus said, freely you receive, freely give. Name calling. She's just a Jezebel. You know what I told my men? I don't want to hear it.
Amen.
If I hear another one of you guys in my church call any lady that say that she's a Jezebel, I'll rip your hide off. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's nothing but name calling. And if you're so quick to do that, then maybe you're an Ahab. I tell you, it's a demon. If you see it, when you're on the floor, cast it out, okay? And then let's get on with following Jesus. We're labeling people. We're doing things that are hurting them. I've seen so many women crippled by this that they're afraid to do anything in Christ anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey? That's right. My women are free to minister, and they're strong in the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Weak, insecure men come in, and they go, oh, look, it must be a church of Jezebels. And actually, they're afraid of women. By the way, I find more Jezebel spirits in men than I do women anyway. Okay. It's a control demon, yeah. You know, ladies, let me put it this way. If you've been fighting something and fighting something and fighting something, not getting free from it, maybe you're calling it by the wrong name. Why don't you come against fear and insecurity and things that would cause you to try to grab the reins from your husband or the leader or the pastor? And I think you might find that you get a lot more deliverance from what the real issue is. Let's simplify. Break it down to its common denominator. Why do I feel like I have to take control? Ask God to show it. And a lot of times it's just fear. Distrust. Well, he's made so many mistakes in the past, I can't trust him anymore. And if you work on that, you might not be so dominating or controlling. But let's stay away from the name calling, okay? You call the demon by his name, yeah, but don't label the people. This is first generation mistakes. Following formulas, demon lists. First thing I do, I meet them at the door and say, get rid of your demon list. or quit counting demons. Have one lady call me and she said, I've counted up to 4,000, Pastor Monty. How many demons can there be? And I said, you know what, honey, quit counting. Okay, just put it away. It really doesn't matter anyway. You know, just get deliverance. Just get the deliverance that you need. The list, if you're going to go by a list, you're not going to learn to hear God's Spirit.
Right.
And you will learn in time which common groups of demons work together. This really is a ministry that there are only two rules in. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of His shed blood and following the Holy Spirit. Now, the more deliverance you get and the more you walk with Him, the easier that'll get, the sharper the Holy Spirit's voice comes. And you'll be a dynamo for the Lord. And you walk into the room and the demons will go, ah! And scream and run away. I need to look at some scriptures with this. Turn to Matthew 23. Just to back this up. Matthew 23, verse 25. Jesus is speaking to scribes and Pharisees here. He says, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. You may clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, clean first that which was in the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Now, what's this saying to us? Get your heart clean. The things in your heart, bitterness, resentment, anger, unforgiveness, blame, accusation, criticalness. What are the issues of the heart? You know, if you will let God touch your heart, He'll change your life. By the way, that's why people don't want to clean up the inside. It requires change. We have to change. We have to lay down something. We have to repent of something. But this is what deliverance is supposed to do. It's supposed to change us.
Amen.
And you're not gonna fool the world by only changing the outside. Mark 7 says it over here as well. Mark 7, verse 18. And He said unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without enters into man, it cannot defile him, because it enters not into his heart, but into the belly, and goes out into the drought, purging all meats? And He said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart, men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murder, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. You can polish up the outside all you want and still be defiled. If you want a good demon list, just start from here. We'll probably do that when I get done speaking here. It's a good list to go off of. These are things that God wants to see His people get delivered from, to get worked out, to change your nature. Amen?
Amen.
Our nature. Mine as well. Second generation people also make some mistakes. They have tendency to hold on to outdated concepts and ideas, holding on traditions of forefathers. Now, this was a tough one for me. At first, God began to speak to me things that were just a little bit different than how my pastor used to do it. I thought, oh, I can't do that. Pastor didn't do it that way. And the Lord said, who are you following? You know, not that we don't learn and grow, but holding on to things. And then, you know, but it was tough at first. Then I began, yes, Lord, I'll follow you. You know, I don't want to be going wrong or doing things wrong. You teach us. Show us the shortcuts, Lord. Right. You know, hold on to principles that are worth dying for. That's a good check and balance. You know, say, well, I ain't going to pray for somebody if they don't uncross their hands and legs. Say, well, are you willing to die for that belief? But are you willing to die for deliverance? See, much different, isn't it? Yeah, I will die. I will give my life for the ministry of deliverance. But I don't know that I would die over someone refusing to uncross their hands and arms. You know, it's not always necessary. You know what you need to do? Follow the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit says, hey, have them uncross their hands and legs, then do that. But you'll probably find that it's like maybe one instance out of 1,000. Instead of making it a law, a legal thing, we need to learn to hear and follow God's Spirit. The second generation to enter in, they had to demonstrate complete obedience. No murmuring. No complaining. I don't like the food. I don't like the worship. Now, it's like you come into the hospital room on the operating team table for a heart transplant and you don't like the wallpaper. Yeah, it amazes me because this happens all the time. People come in and say, well, I don't like how you guys sing here. So, well, what'd you come here for? I mean, yeah, everybody can sing better. We can worship better, but that's not our main thrust. Okay? You let that soak in. Our main thing is to do warfare, to set God's people free. And we concentrate too much on too many of wrong things. We give it too much priority. I was taught that if we will put deliverance as the locomotive of the train, it will pull everything else along. Actually, some of our best worship is after the deliverance. At the end of the service, people getting ready to go home, somebody picks up a guitar and, oh, talk about the praise, come out. Once they've been set free, you'll have something to worship and praise about. I know, I'm a little fanatical and I got some different thoughts, but you'll go home thinking anyway, won't you? No murmuring, no complaining, a willingness to fight for their brothers and sisters. I came from out of a group that you could just watch and see the people that loved to pray and those that didn't want to, you know, because they began to duck and say, how can I get out of here? I don't want to have to pray for somebody today. You know, and they would turn and, you know, and hope that you don't call on brother or sister so-and-so to come up and pray for somebody. Man, that's not right. You get set free from something. We have a body ministry in our church. You pray, you turn around, then you start praying for your brother and sister. And those that don't want to pray or help somebody, they generally don't last very long. By the way, you get your best deliverance many times while you're praying for somebody else. If you're praying when you go, oh, wait a minute, excuse me. Yeah. I love doing mass deliverances because I get so much deliverance then too. Yeah. Wow. Willingness to fight for your brothers and sisters. In the Numbers 32, I read that earlier. In fact, let's go back to that. I want to read this again. Numbers 32:16. They came near unto him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle, cities for our little ones, but we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them into their place. And our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side of Jordan or forward, because our inheritance fall into the east side of Jordan. Moses said, if you will do this thing, if you will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord, till he has driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before you, then afterwards you shall return and be guiltless before the Lord. What is this telling us? Just because you get your own personal deliverance, you can't settle down. You know, usually I find that person really doesn't get much deliverance. If they come into the church and say, you know, my sore toe is really, I want to be healed and delivered because my sore toe is just eating me alive. And I say, why do you want healing or deliverance? You know, and if the heart attitude is for me, God may not give it to you. If your heart attitude is, Lord, set me free so that I can in turn go and set my brothers and sisters free, guess what? He'll set you free. Hallelujah. If that's your heart, you'll get deliverance faster and quicker. I see a lot of people that don't get very far in deliverance because their heart attitude is all wrong. And I tell them, you know what Moses told Pharaoh? He said, let my people go that they may serve me. That should be our heart's desire. Lord, set me free from all the power of the enemy that I may serve you. And if that's your heart cry, okay? Is that what you wake up in the middle of the night and say, Lord, I'm so bound. Help me to speak. Help me to share. Help me to testify. To help someone, walk someone through deliverance. I mean, is that your heart cry? Okay. You're the one that will get free if that's your cry. And I know many times when you come in and you're sore tormented, you're not thinking about others. But there should begin a movement where you begin to, once you get a little taste of freedom, that you want to turn and help your brothers and sisters.
Huh?
This is what God wants the second generation to do. Your life is not your own. We were bought with the price, the blood of Jesus, and we better not be settling down just to enjoy the fruits of our own labor. I mean, he'll give timeouts and recesses and vacations and stuff from the battle, but you let him pick the times, okay? I said, boy, must not be many people go to your church. No, not many. You know, I'd rather have five people with this same kind of zeal beside me than 15,000 people in a church. The second generation will build on the future and make it better. It will build lives, restore people to their inheritance that we've been given in Christ Jesus. We've been called to go forth. This is what I've taken for our mission statement, to take deliverance to the world. I'm not so silly or foolish to think that by me alone that's going to happen, but I'm going to be faithful wherever He's called me to. And we're seeing a lot of exciting things happening, and people are getting free around the world. And you don't need to travel to be faithful, Lord, and deliverance. You start in your own community, your own house. Start praying for your spouse. You know, if you wait till just Sunday to get deliverance, boy, that may take a long time. You know, think of it as if you had a 50-gallon barrel full of marbles, and every Sunday, and the marbles were representing demons, and every Sunday you come up and we took out a couple, you could say, I'm getting delivered. Yeah, but how long is it going to take? Now, what if you took on two services a week? Well, you just cut your time in half. What we've done in our church to help do this is I send out monthly tapes. I think they're going out about 15 countries. Now, my church is not that big. It runs between 20 and 40 all the time. But they are committed people. And we copy the tapes. And probably 90% of the tapes I put a mass deliverance on. Because people have called me all over the world and says, you know, I don't have any place to go. I don't have anybody to pray for me. I don't even know what to call out if I could do self-deliverance. And I was one of those kind of people. I lived outside of a deliverance church for 6 years, so I know the drought and the feelings that you go through. So I began to put mass deliverance on the end of all my tapes. Now, like somebody said, it's just skimming off the top. Well, you know what happens if you keep skimming off the top? Pretty soon it's all gone, right? Or you get, you know, the barrel gets empty. So I send these tapes out, and people are getting deliverance because they follow along. They repent, they listen, and they cough right along. And a number of people said, you know, I was driving a car, and I had to pull over because my eyes started watering up, and I couldn't see, and I started coughing. And getting deliverance. And we're training missionaries and pastors all around the world with these. I love printed material. I love books. I felt God has told me to write. But let me tell you, one of the problems that's happened in the deliverance movement is that so many pastors that have come into this have picked up the books and read the books and become instant experts. I meet them all the time. Talk about deliverance. They say, oh yeah, I know all about that. I read all the books. They say, how much deliverance have you gotten?
That's right.
And they look at you with this blank look and say, what has Christ worked into your life? Tell me about some of those character flaws that God has worked out of your life through deliverance. And they look at you with a blank look. I said, that's right. Knowledge puffeth up. But deliverance will change your life. So my main thrust has been the cassette. And you can be taking, how many tapes you can go through a week? You know, what do we send out? We send out 8 monthly tapes. That's 2 a week. 2 tapes a week to get free. Now multiply that with your church services in 10 years or so. The devil's going to start, hey, this person is serious. I got to stop them. I got to turn them around. They're going to get free and be a problem to me. Yeah. Just think about this. Are you getting deliverance? Is your heart changing? Because this is what He wants us to do. He wants us to take this viable, authentic ministry of deliverance to the world.
Hallelujah.
You know, I want to give thanks to all the seniors, all my mentors and instructors that have blazed a trail and have been faithful, and they've stuck to the calling even when there was hardly anybody to encourage them or to pray for them. Hard. I would not be here today if it had not been for all of them.
Amen.
But let me ask you this question. When your race is over, will you have been able to say that you've promoted, mentored, or trained someone to take your place? Someone to take up the next generation? Your replacements? Passing the baton in the race? I grew up on the farm, and the good picture, great picture, I got to share this with you, you know, where we used to do the plowing with the horse and not the tractor. You know how they trained the replacement horse that was coming along? They tied the colt up alongside the draft horse and he learned to pull right alongside. Picture of discipling, mentoring, or whatever. You know, are you doing this? Are you taking any of these young colts with you out on the field? One of my pastors, I already said it, my pastor, you know, I've really had a hard time taking people with him. He said, oh, there's so much trouble. Sure are. Learned that myself. But there's something about getting outside of your hometown that stretches your borders. Get outside of the U.S. and you'll really begin to see things from a different perspective. So I take these young colts with me. Say, come on, you know, come see. Just follow right along. You don't have to do nothing. Just be here. And they're learning. They're watching how things are done. This is what we need to be doing for the next generation. And I say to the next generation, you know, we pledge our support. We're here for you. You can call us up. We'll share everything that God has shared that we've learned. We learn it from somebody else anyway. I mean, we all read everybody else's books and we all use their material and so on. We'll just pass it on. And if you feel called into the ministry of deliverance, you know, like Norman was saying, get under somebody. Get some mentoring, get some training, and don't be so quick to launch out on yourself. I'd probably say around 95% of deliverance works are gone within 3 years. And the reason is, they're hireling, and when the wolf cometh, they flee. Term of a hireling is 3 years. I think it's in Isaiah, and Jesus talked about the hireling. Now, you haven't gotten anywhere until you've gotten at least 3 years in deliverance. Still a novice, and you don't give full authority onto a novice. They need training. They need to get past that so that when the enemy says boo, they don't run and quit and everybody's heart is disappointed. Right. How do we take the authentic, viable ministry of deliverance to the world? I've jotted down. I said all that to get to here. Probably about four things that entered my mind I want to share with you, because it's, as I prayed about the message, this is where I felt the Lord said to go with it, is that we've been given this ministry. All of you here believe in it. We need to take it on to the world, to our neighborhoods, to our families. Some of them aren't going to listen. That's okay. You move on to the next one. Ask God to send them to you. But how do we do that? How do we convince the world that deliverance is real? First thing, love. Compassionate heart.
That's right.
If they sense any condemnation in our ministry, they're gone. Right? You left. Right? Anytime, first time somebody was giving you any type of condemnation, it was over. We have to have the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ moving through us. You say, how do you get that way? Get your deliverance. John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. I mean, the infighting that's going on in God's army, now how are you going to win the world? You can't even get along with yourselves. Right? We have to get love inside of us.
Yeah, that's good.
And that comes with time. Number two, I put down your testimony. You have to have a deliverance and testimony. You can't share what you don't have. You can believe all you want. It says even the demons believe and tremble. They ain't doing no deliverance. No. What testimony do you have? What has God worked in your life? I used Lazarus to depict this. Lazarus, you know, the story of Lazarus is a deliverance message. Being raised from the dead, that's picture salvation. I don't have time for that, but as you follow through, Lazarus was raised from the dead, and he still had on all his grave clothes. People say, well, I don't have any demons, I'm saved. Say, no, you have all kinds of grave clothes. Picture of the demons. They're still on after salvation until somebody unwraps them tenderly, with compassion. You don't go up to him and say, now, get them filthy rags off you. My goodness, who do you think you are? Do you know you're a king's kid? No. But you know what? If Lazarus hadn't had one of his brothers and sisters, by the way, let me say, all of you need to be fighting, getting your, what we call, personal deliverance. But you know, there's a lot of grave clothes that you're not going to get off by yourself. And you need your brothers and sisters. And it's an oxymoron again. You need to fight and get your own deliverance, but you can't. Okay, you hearing me? The problem is, if you could do it all yourself, you would say, well, what's the matter with you? Why aren't you all delivered? I did mine. And it's not the picture that's in the Bible. God says the hand has need of the foot. And Jesus said, you go set them free. Now, if all of us could get rid of all of our demons, then he wouldn't have to give us authority to go pray for somebody else.
Come on, that's good.
Okay, so some demons you're not going to get free from because you don't even know you've got yet. There are some people that I separate in my church because they're always going like this, praying for the same person all over again. And I say, whoa, we're going to end up with inbred deliverance because both of you got the same problem and you don't know what to pray for. Let's mix it up. Been around a while. I've seen a church blown up because of inbred deliverance. And you know what? Arrested development was never fought. Pride was never fought because, we don't have any of that. You better let somebody else pray for you. Or your deliverance will get inbred and pretty soon what do you have? Lose all the power, all the strength. You have to have a testimony. You know, as you follow Lazarus through, once he got rid of his grave clothes and that smell of death that was on him, then the world began to say, hey, what happened to you? And you know what it says? They came not to see Jesus, but they came to see Lazarus. Do you have that kind of testimony? Where people would want to come and see? They came to see him. Fruit in your life? Or are you still impatient, hard, cold? If I come hug you, am I like hugging a chair, or is there some warmth come back out of that? Full of self? Are you approachable? Religious? You know, religion crucified my Savior. I don't know, it's one of my most hated enemies. Religion is man's attempt to reach God. Christianity is God's attempt to reach man. Strip off all the religious clothes, people. Let them go. They ain't doing nothing. Bad grammar, good preaching. You have to have a testimony. You have to demonstrate it also with your beliefs. Do you believe in this ministry? Do you believe it's authentic? Do you believe it's viable? Will you help take it to the world? All right. What have you sacrificed? What are you willing to sacrifice for this that someone else might get free? You know, we're talking about the price of deliverance earlier. Deliverance is free for the person getting prayer, but it costs somebody else. You will be that price if somebody else will get free. Okay, and you're all deliverance ministers here, so I can tell you that. Unless you pay the price, they aren't going to get free. And it will be a price. People come and say, oh, Pastor, I'd give anything to be like you, and so that the demons would be afraid and they'd tremble and they'd leave. And said, anything? Oh, yes, anything. Well, I said, well, that's just what it'll take. Anything and everything. Yeah. And when you've died to self on everything, when you've given it all till there's no more left. You know, someone shared here with me the other day the picture of the purifying silver. You know how they do that? They turn up the heat and all the dross comes to the top and they scrape it off. And they let it cool down, then they turn it up again. You know how they know when that's done? When the worker can look over and he looks into the vat and he sees his reflection in the top, he knows that the silver is pure. What does Jesus see when he looks into your life? Turn the heat up again. A little more dross. I can't quite see my reflection in my people down there. You know? What do people see when they look at us? Do they see that we believe what we're talking about? You're not fooling the world. That's why Jesus said you're hypocrites if you think you can just clean up the outside, not the inside. We're not fooling the world. Do you put your money where your mouth is? I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just trying to do some soul-searching questions here. Is your faith catching? Are you contagious? Yeah. If I get up alongside you, will knowing you cause me to want to get more deliverance? I'm examining myself as well. And when people come around me and say, oh, man, I want more deliverance. Not because they want to be like me, but to be like my master. The song that I've heard many times, I just love this. And it depicts this so good. It says, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. People looking at my devotion, what do they think? May the footsteps that we leave lead them to believe. And life that we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. If we don't have this kind of testimony, there'll be no second generation of deliverance. You know, our friends often know what we believe at first sight. They can tell us what we believe in. They hear what is most often raised in our conversations. They see what we spend our time doing. They see what we spend our money on. They see what we gravitate towards. during time of choice. What do you do in your free time? You know, write it down, send it to me in an email. Tell me what you do with your free time, and I'll tell you how effective you'll be for taking deliverance to the world. Oh, amen or oh me, huh? No. We only have a few short years. Just a few short years. And everything that we do down here is what's going to affect our eternity. Study your own calendar and see what you spend the most of your time doing. What you love the most. Now, some of you, sell your toys. If they're stopping you from doing deliverance, if they're stopping you from coming to church, if they're stopping you from listening to tape, just sell it. Get rid of it. Give it to somebody. I don't care. Do something. Get rid of the boat, the golf clubs, whatever it takes. And I'm not saying that you can't have recreation or time out, but if your heart is attached to it, it's a choice. Choose ye this day. What God's saying, what do you want to do with this message that I give you? I'm holding you accountable, he says. You know, God is holding us accountable for these truths that he's given us. Do you know how many people there are or ever have been in this world that can sit down with somebody in a chair and say, sit down here, let me pray deliverance for you? You don't think that we won't be judged with a stricter measure, knowing what we know? Oh, brothers and sisters, not to our condemnation, but to God, put your spirit in us. It's urgent. It's time. It's what we need to be doing. Can we expect to change the world for Jesus with what we're spending our time on? Another thing that we need to do in taking authentic, viable ministry of deliverance to the world is the direction that we're going with it. Now, I've studied this for years because I've been one of those cults. I went right alongside watching to see how it worked. You know, my pastor, his belief, his thinking, first generation was, you know, if I can just get the pastors to doing this, man, deliverance would sweep the world. And I began to watch. I watched him pour his life, his heart, everything he had, he poured into that. And he'd go to these ministers and they'd pick it up and 3 years later they're all gone. I bet 95 of the places that he went to aren't even existing. The people scattered. And I said, you know what? I'm kind of slow, but this ain't working. And then I began to look on the other side. Now, what ministries are still here? Some are in it just out of sheer determination and skin of the teeth. God said, do this, and I'm going to do it. But the most of them that are in existence today are those that got delivered and came up through the ranks. And I began to study that. I said, well, Lord, show me in the Scriptures. He said, okay, don't put new wine in an old wineskin, lest you tear it and rend it in two. Okay, I'm not going that direction then. Now, anytime I go and minister someplace, the reason I go there after much prayer and confirmation with the other man, I go there to start a new deliverance work from the ground up with a man that has proven himself to be obedient, cleaned up, ready to pull a plow. That'll take forever. Probably. But I'm seeing churches stick longer because the leader has been cleaned up. Can't put new wine into an old wineskin. And so what? It's a direction. You take it to the people. It's the people that are crying out. And I'm not against pastors. I am one of them. My gosh. It's just that they're not taught deliverance in the universities. They can't do what they haven't been taught. And deliverance is the school of the Spirit. You have to be mentored. You have to be trained. And there is so much. People say, well, how do I get into your course? It's fine. Just come to church. I'll come back and check on you in 6 months. Just come get deliverance. And it'll be in the messages every Sunday. More washing, more washing, more deliverance. And in about 3 years, hopefully we got enough spots and wrinkles ironed off that you might be able to be used of the Lord a little bit. We have way too many wounded healers trying to go out healing somebody else. And you are going to minister what's inside of you. Like begets like. If you're an abused victim, that's what you're going to end up doing. If you're a bitter person, you're going to minister out of bitterness and anger. Boy, you're all so quiet. You know, and I'm talking to a church full of ministers here now, so I really think I can talk this way. That God wants to clean us up, folks. He wants to take us on. He wants to take us into a promised land where we start fighting some giants. We ain't fighting anything yet. I don't hear too many stories about the demons materializing and barging in during the middle of the church service. You know, Bloomheart's battle, where when they did the deliverance, the snakes came out of the mouth. By the way, that's been rewritten. There's a publisher on the, East Coast. Get a hold of me. I can. It's been rewritten. I think all of Blumhardt's writings are coming out in English. Fascinating. But that, you know, we haven't seen everything yet. We talked about pins and needles coming out and throwing up green stuff. We've seen some exciting stuff, but I haven't seen stuff like that yet. Fixing to get exciting. You ready? Some of you look a little squeamish, huh? All right, you can get rid of that. Amen. Well, I'm going to take us into mass deliverance tonight. I believe that's kind of where we're going. I hope I'm on correct ground here. We want to do some prayer. Now, I'm going to do things a little bit different. I'm going to put some shortcuts in here, okay? I'm not going to lead you through a bunch of renunciations or have you repeat after me. That's fine. But I think I can get two demons out for every time you would have to repeat me, okay? So, let's do it this way. If you need to repent or if you need to say, Lord, I forgive so-and-so, you take responsibility of that. I'm going to treat you all as adults that you know what to do so that you can get your deliverance. Then I can concentrate on the 90. Now, if one person needs to go through a renunciation, let's take him over here and take him through the renunciation and get the rest back on deliverance. Okay? That's how I do it. That way I'm getting two marbles out of the bucket for every one. Okay? And I'm going to lead us in some prayer. And all you have to do is agree and just say, Lord, if it's in me, I want it out, and breathe it out. Okay? And I'm just going to come against some of the common spirits that we find in the heart and start calling these things out, and just common demons, good old everyday stuff such as anger and bitterness and all that. So let's come before the Lord. I will lead us in a prayer. We'll enter into His presence and ask God for some help, some angels and so on. Okay? Father, we come into Your presence tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank You, first of all, for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that You've considered us, Father, as vessels to take the ministry of deliverance to Your people. Lord, we ask that You would clean us up. Set us free that we may serve You, Lord. Father, we've been bound, we've been tormented by many evil spirits. We ask that You would set us free from all the things that bind, harass, and torment. Father, we call upon Your help. We ask for Your angels. We ask for Your ministering spirits tonight to help us, to help deliver us, to take the demons out of here as we pray. We pray, Father, for those that would be ministering tonight, that they would have the gifts of the Spirit, discernment, word of knowledge, whatever they would need, Father, in Jesus' name. Satan, I put you on notice. I'm coming against you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I name you demons, you must loose God's people, come out of them. You are not to return. You are not to harass or attack them in any way, but you are to loose them and let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I break any and all legal grounds. Christ Jesus blotted out the handwriting of ordinance against us. I break every legal hold that you have, and you must loose God's people and let them go. Right now, I come against every spirit of bitterness and unforgiveness. Just take a deep breath and say, if it's in me, if the Holy Spirit will bring a picture to your mind of who you might have it toward, you come out right now in Jesus' name. Out of the heart, hatred toward brothers and sisters. Anybody that you couldn't go up to or put your arm around, the hatred of that person, come out right now in Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. Come on. Bitterness, resentment, anger, wrath, rage, alcohol spirits, arrested development. Come on, let's go out of the heart. Selfishness, self-pity. Come on, all the spirits, just breathe them out. Come on, let's go out of God's people. Loose them, let them go. Angels, attack them. Attack them. Set hooks in your jaws. Bring them out. Come on, let's go. In Jesus' name, demons, manifest and go. Come on, out, out. Move, move, move. Come on, all those spirits, bitterness, resentment, anger, witchcraft spirits, rebellion. Come on, every spirit of rebellion. Come on, let's go. All those spirits, Jezebel and Ahab, we've been hitting you. You come out too, in Jesus' name. Passivity, slothfulness. I'll get around to it someday. Come on, let's go. All those spirits, judgmental, critical spirits, fault-finding. Come on, let's go. All the fault-finding demons, in Jesus' name. Lust, adultery, fornication, lasciviousness. Come on, all the spirits in the heart. If you need help, just raise a hand and a brother will come, okay? Come on, all the spirits, fault-finding, judgmental, criticalness, rejection. rebellion to authority, rejection from God, abandonment. Come on, let's go. Fear spirits that defile the heart. Every spirit of fear, fear of authority, fear of demons, fear of death, spirits of death and destruction. Come on, let's go. Out you go. Abaddon, Apollyon. Come on, move. Move faster. Come on, loose them and let them go. Come on, let's go. Out you go, demons. Come on, move. Move out. Every spirit in the heart. Come on, let's go. Move, defiling the heart. Every spirit of defilement. Come on, out. Manifest and go in Jesus' name. All those defiling spirits, stealing, evil thoughts, every spirit in the thought life. Come on, let's go. We bring captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. Come on. Every spirit that creates evil thoughts. Come on, move, move, move. Jealousy, envy, suspicion, distrust. Come on, move, distrust. Broken heart, wounded love. Come on. Adultery, fornication, murder, murdering a brother. All hatred in the heart. Hatred toward brothers and sisters. Hatred toward God. Come on, move. Every spirit in this area. Come on, move. Theft, coveting, coveting, the sin of Achan. Come on, let's go. Wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, evil eye, greed. Come on, let's go. Every spirit of greed, coveting. Come on, out, out. Blasphemy, pride, every spirit of pride, foolishness. Come on, foolish speaking, foolish jesting, gossip, slander, malicious thoughts. Come on, come on. All the spirits in the heart. Come on, out you go. Out you go. Breathe them out. Angels, take authority over them. Pull them out. Angels, go after them. Bring them out. Come on. We take authority over you, demons, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on. All the abuse spirits, abuse, verbal abuse, come on, wounded spirit, come on, all those spirits, alcohol spirits, addictions, cravings, compulsions, strong desires, come on, out, out, loose God's people and let them go, come on, move, move, every spirit. In Jesus' name, loose God's people. You come out of their hearts tonight in Jesus' name. Come on, move out of the body, out of the temple. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you, spirits. Come on, manifest and go in Jesus' name. Make yourself present. Come on, out, out, out. Hatred, bitterness, resentment, anybody that you have ought against in Jesus' name. Come on, move. Control spirits, control, needing to be in control, dominance. Come on, all the different spirits that make you control one another. Move, backbiting, gossip, slander, malicious spirits of any kind. Move, lust spirits, lust of the eyes, fornication, pride of life. Come on, all the demons in the heart. All the spirits in the heart, all the spirits that defile, come on, move, loose God's people, come out of them right now, come on, they're resisting you, demons, they're resisting, come on, resist the devil and he will flee, they're resisting, they're pushing you, come on, let's go out, every spirit of sickness, disease, all the spirits of destruction, infirmity spirits that are working in any of the organs, come on, out of the heart, out of the lungs, out of the bones, cancer, arthritis, come on, all these spirits, witchcraft curses, we break them off in Jesus' name, come on, out of the vocal cords, all those spirits in the brain, come on, right now, come on, move out, all those spirits in the brain, come on, move out, sickness, infirmities, come on, let's go, every spirit, constant sickness, spirits that make you susceptible to every disease, colds and flus that come along, the demons that cause you to be susceptible, weakness, the spirit of weakness in your body where you can't fight off diseases. Come on, let's go. Move out. Father, we pray for healing right now for everybody that needs healing tonight. Lord, we loose ministering angels, healing, health, restoration, regeneration. Touch your people, Father. Healing right now for every area and all the damage that the demons has done. We pray for healing on that, Father. We reclaim, take back everything that the locust, palm worm, cankerworms have eaten in Jesus' name. Healing, health, life be unto you. Every spirit of death, come out. We break the curses of death. Death, darkness, and destruction. Accidents, injuries. Come on, right now. Come on. Every spirit of accident, accident prone. Come on, move out. Move out. Move out in Jesus' name. Every spirit of death trying to snuff out people's life. Come on, right now. We loose the spirit of life, spirit of confidence, vital optimism. I loose into God's people in Jesus' name. Zeal of the Lord, the cloak of zeal, the joy of the Lord to be all over your people tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. Pick up the banner, charge, and go forward. Come on. Our enemy's defeated. Let's go, demons. Come on. Loose God's people. Every evil spirit that hinders you or blocks you from walking in the Spirit of the Lord. Come on. Move. All these blockages that won't let you pray in tongues, won't let you read your Bible, won't let you pray for one another. Come on. Move. All these blockages, all these spirits that block you from moving in God's Spirit, can't hear His voice. Come on. Move. Move. Every spirit in Jesus' name. Come on. Move out in Jesus' name. Let's go. Move. Move. Come out right now. Come on. Angels, attack. Attack. Attack them. Rejection. Rebellion. Come on, let's go. Abuse, destruction, accident, sickness. Come on. All the spirits. Move, move. Evil memory recall. Always making you think of your past hurts. Come on, let's go. Evil memory recall, broken heart, wounded love, that spirit of rejection, rejection from men, rejection from women, rejection from parents, rejection from the womb. Come on, come out, you go, demons. We have authority over you. We command you to go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, move. Fear of women, fear of men. Come on, all these spirits, fear of responsibility, fear of marriage, fear of serving the Lord. Come on, all those fear demons. Come on, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Lord, we cut it off in Jesus' name. Every snare that is holding people back, every fear spirit, fear of running out of money. Come on, fear of poverty, lack, want, need. Come on, let's go, demons. Come on, all the fear spirits in Jesus' name. Come on, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. All the fear demons. Come on, right now, loose God's people. Loose them. Loose them. He who feareth has not been made mature in love. Come on, all the arrested development, selfishness. Come on, out, out, out. Come on, all the fear. Fear of public speaking, fear of snakes, fear of spiders, fear of dogs. Come on, all those fears. Come on, move. Move, demons, in Jesus' name. We have authority over you. Come on, they're pushing you out. Let's go. All the fears, all drugs, alcohol, and addictions, all the damage done by drugs or alcohol or any compulsions. Come on, let's go. Out, out. Loose God's people. Every spirit of name-calling in Jesus' name. Pride, big pride, little pride. Come on, out you go. Out you go. Let's go. Every spirit of pride, self-sufficiency. I can do it myself. Come on, let's go. Out you go, demons. Come on, all the way out. All those spirits. I am right, spirit. Come on, let's go. Out. Out you go, in Jesus' name. Insomnia, arthritis. Every spirit on top, loose God's people. Come on, move, move. Murmuring, complaining. Legalism. Hidden idolatry. Religious demons of any kind that pull you away from doing the real service of the Lord. Come on, move, move, move in Jesus' name. Come on, everything on top. Loose God's people. Come on, let's go, let's go. Loose God's people. Come out of them. Breathe them out, people. Take a deep breath and tell them in your mind. Come on, let's go. Move, 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 move in Jesus' name. Everything on top. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you, spirits. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you in Jesus' name. Come on, move, move. Fear of the devil, fear of the demons, fear of his power. Come on, move out. Come on, let's go. Every spirit of fear. Come on, move, move in Jesus' name. Let's go. Breathe them out. Come on. Out you go. Out you go. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you, demons. Come on, everything on top. Up and out. Up and out. Angels, push them up. Come on, let's go. Move, move, move. Come on, all the fears. Lack, want, need, poverty, automatic failure mechanism, all the curses of poverty that the devil straps you down with, we break them off in Jesus' name tonight. All those spirits of poverty, come on, incest, witchcraft, family line, the inherited curses, we break them off. All the incest spirits in Jesus' name. Let's go. Move out in Jesus' name. How are we doing, Glenn? Come on. Everything on top. Come on. Move out. Come on. Come out of our brothers.
About 15 minutes.
Okay. Well, we'll keep going. We still got 15 minutes. Let's take it. Come on. Let's go, demons. Come on. Abuse spirits. Incest. Rape. Violation, feeling dirty, feeling defiled, feeling unclean, hatred of self. Come on, let's go. All those spirits in Jesus' name. All witchcraft spirits. Come on, move, move. Witchcraft, out, out. Let's go all the way out. Everything that's on top. Suspicion, distrust, can't trust my spouse. Come on, can't trust God. Come on, let's go. Abandonment, fear of abandonment, rejection from God, feeling rejected by Him. Come on. Satanic ritual abuse we mentioned. Come on, let's go. Out you go. Cigarettes. Come on, out. Cigarettes, nicotine, smoking, addiction, craving, compulsion. Come on. All those addictive spirits. Come on, loose God's people. Out you go. If you need help, just raise a hand. There are people ready and willing to pray. Come on, let's go, demons. Keep going. We have authority over you. You must loose God's people. Come out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In el nombre de Jesus. Manifiesta. Raus. Come on, let's go. In Jesus' name, raus. In el nombre de Jesus, vamos, vamos. Ahora mismo, en el nombre de Jesus, vamos, demonios, vamos. Ahora. Let's go. Rechazo, vamos. Let's go, demons. Come on, all the way out. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke his spirits. Come on, everything is on top. Move, gather them up, pull them out. Move, move in Jesus' name. Fear, rejection, rebellions. Come on, pride, big pride, little pride, any pride in our what we can do. Come on, out you go. Sickness, infirmities, diseases, witchcraft. Come on, all those spirits that make us sick. Weakness, death, curses of destruction. Come on, let's go. Father, we take authority over them. We cancel their plans. We fall out of agreement with them. We disallow them from working anymore. In Jesus' name, every curse of death, we disallow it in Jesus' name. Move, move. Accidents, injuries, come on. Every spirit of destruction, Abaddon, Apollyon, come out of God's people in Jesus' name. Destruction on the finances, destruction on the marriage, destruction on relationships. Come on, move. Destruction of the job, destruction of your possessions. Every spirit of destruction, in Jesus' name, all the lust spirits that cause so many problems, lust, oral sex, masturbation, come on, pornography, addiction to pornography, come on, out you go, demons, come on, all those spirits, all those secret sins, just raise your hand, tell it to go, come on, move, move, all those spirits that drive shame and embarrassment, you come out, every spirit of self-condemnation, guilt, shame, unworthiness, failure spirits. I'm such a failure. I can't do nothing right. Come on, let's go. Move out. Every spirit of shame. Shame, guilt, condemnation. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you, demons. Come on, move out. Move. Shame over the abuse. Shame over the failures and mistakes of your life. Come out. Come out. Out you go, demons. Come on. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. Come out of God's people. They're going to go home different in Jesus' name. Come on. Move. Move out. Move out. Move out. Bitterness. Bitter heart. Bitterkeit. Raus in Jesus' name. Let's go. Every spirit of bitterness. Come on. Let's go. Move out. Bitterness. Resentment toward your spouse. Bitterness and resentment toward God, making you do something. Come on, let's go. Arrested development, immaturity, little boy spirits, little girl spirits. Come on, move, move, move. Immaturity, refusing to grow up, refusing to take responsibility. Slothfulness, passivity. Come on, let's go. I don't want to. Come on, let's go. All these demons, come on, move out. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Come on, that's right. They're falling out of agreement with you, demons. Loose God's people. Come on, move out. Move out. Move out. Come out of our sisters. Come on. Come out of our brothers. Come on. Move. Move. We have authority over you. Witchcraft. Witchcraft. Come on. All the witchcraft things. Come on. Let's go. Move out. Every spirit of witchcraft. Control. Out you go. Any Ouija board, dabbling in the occult in any way, idolatry spirits, come on, move out. Any occult spirits that are still hiding, you come out. Move out. Move out. Let's go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Manifest and go. Out, out, through the breathing passageways. Let's go. Let's go. Fear of people, fear of man, fear of men, fear of women. Come on, all those fear spirits. Fear of confrontation. Peace at all costs in our house. Come on, let's go. Fear of confrontation. Come on, let's go. Fear of speaking up. Come on, let's go. All the control spirits. Domination. All the damage from being controlled. All the verbal abuse. Shattered. Shattered souls. Come on, Father, we send the angels of the Lord. Go and gather up all the fragmented pieces. Bring them back. Come on, out of God's people. Loose them and let them go. We have authority over you. Come on, move, demons. Move, move. Headaches, migraines, nausea, all the problems in the head. Come on, right now. Move, move. Chemical dependencies, not a good blood flow in the brain. Come on, let's go. Let's go. That's right. Come on, let them go, brother. Let them go. You're doing good. Come on, let's go. Move. Headaches, migraines, nausea, vomiting. Move out. Syphilis, gonorrhea. Come on, let's go. Syphilis and gonorrhea. Move. Come out. All those venereal diseases. Come on, move. AIDS, any spirits of AIDS, you come out. Cancer. Move. Move. Leukemia. Out you go. Father, we give you all the praise and glory for the work you're doing tonight. Come on, let's go. Move, move, move. Come out. Come out in el nombre de Jesus. Manifest. Come on, manifest in el nombre de Jesus. Vamos, vamos. Ahora, ahora mismo en el nombre de Jesus. Angeles, ataque demonios, ataque, ataque, in el nombre de Jesus. Vamos, vamos, vamos. Come out of her. Come out of her. Come on, let's go. Move, move, move in Jesus' name. Everything on top. Everything that the Lord has touched tonight, drive them out, angels. Drive them out. Set your people free, Father. Set your people free once again in Jesus' name. Move. All abuse, incest. Move out, move out. Anger. Every spirit of anger, temper tantrums, wrath, indignation, jealousy, rage. That raging volcano spirit. Come on, let's go. Move, move. All the spirits of rage. Come on, move, move. Move out, demon. We have authority over you. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. Come on. All the damage done by people's criticism, critical spirit. Come on. Let's go. Move. Move. Hurt. Broken heart. Wounded love. In Jesus' name. Set your people free. Angels, attack. 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 Drive them out. Drive them out. That's right. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on. Let's go, demons. Keep going. Breathe them out. Move them out, people. Come on. You have authority. Bitterness, resentment, fear. Fear of moving in God's power. Fear of moving in His gifts. You know what? If you're not manifesting, find somebody to pray for. Go ahead. You're free here. Find somebody that needs prayer. How many want some more prayer? Raise your hand. Anybody want some prayer? Some of you guys that can pray, let's team up and give them prayer what they want for. Okay? Come on, let's go. I can use a man up here. Oh, you want to pray for somebody?
No, I thought you were going to have more prayer for time.
Oh, yeah. We're going to do another 6 minutes. Okay. Come on, let's go, demons. Come on, all the way out. Let's go. Move, move, move in Jesus' name. Angels, attack, attack, attack. Anger, rage, wrath. Jealousy is the rage of a man. Come on, that spirit of jealousy, distrust. Come on, move out, move out. Jealousy, fear, distrust, fear being replaced. Fear being replaced. Come on, move out in Jesus' name. Set your people free mightily today, night. In Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Rejection spirits, rebellion spirits, bitterness, resentment, anguish of heart, sickness and infirmity. Come on. Yeah, cool. Let's go, demons. Keep going in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All the spirits. Everything has been... Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you tonight for the deliverance you've given us. Father, we take authority over any and all spirits that haven't left. We bind them to our authority in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I forbid you from manifesting as people leave here tonight. You are to not attack them. You are to not talk to any other demons inside or outside. You are not to speak at all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ until you're told to manifest in the next time of deliverance. Father, we give you the praise. We give you all the thanks, all the glory for the work that you've done tonight, Father, and your people. And Lord, we just praise you. We magnify your name, Lord, in Jesus' name. Those of you that can, let's all stand and sing. Let's just praise the Lord. You know that one? Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Praise.
Lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Did you get another one?
You know what? Quick chorus.
What is it? We say, yeah, what I'm thinking of is like worthy is it?
Worthy.
Okay.
second? Yeah, go ahead, take it. We'll try and follow.
I can't get the key. How about just He is Lord? That one.
Yeah.
He is Lord. He is Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.